thank you for reading those passages. This is not an easy topic to deal with, is it? Suffering. But I think it's something important. It's something that we all experience at one level or another. There's a woman that I know a little bit. Actually, I know her husband a lot better. But she went through some very, very tough times. A number of years ago, she was happily married to a gentleman who was a pastor. He was planting a church in kind of a tough neighborhood. And God was using him, using the two of them to you know, establish a bit of God's kingdom in a dark place. And godly people. And they had two young boys as well. And then tragedy hit that family. The husband one day was killed in a car accident. And so she was widowed suddenly, unexpectedly, at a young age. And then not much after that, maybe a year or two later, the two boys were crossing the street to go to school, and a drunk driver hit one of the boys, and he was horribly injured. The rest of his short life, he was confined to bed, couldn't talk, couldn't really move at all, just totally disabled, and then eventually he passed away. Tough, tough stuff. And to people who were good, who were being used by God, and it makes you wonder, like, why would God allow stuff like that to happen? And so that's something that we do think about. Sometimes theoretically, but sometimes it also becomes very, very, very personal. And so I want to spend some time on that today. And I recognize that we don't have that much time, really. I mean, you don't want me to preach too long, and it's a huge topic. And I really don't feel equal to the task. I just don't. I mean, how can anyone really speak authoritatively on a topic like this? And so it's a beginning. And I've kind of split my message into two parts, one being sort of philosophical and the other one being much more personal. And the first thing I'd like to spend a little bit of time on is this question here. How can there be a God when there's so much suffering and pain in the world? And I don't know if you've asked that question or not, but some people do. There's a person very important in my life who, when they were about 14, 15, began to ask that question. How can there be this good God that I'm hearing about in church when there's so many tough things in the world? And that individual never really got much of an answer. And that was the beginning of him losing his faith. And that's still where he's at today. So it's important to, I think, spend a bit of time on this topic at the beginning before we bring it around to the personal level. So how does one respond to someone saying to perhaps you, saying, challenging maybe what you believe, and say, you know, you believe in this good God, well, how come all these terrible things happen? And you know, there's a couple things one can say, and I'm just going to be very brief here, but if a person is to say, you know what, how can there be a God if all these terrible things happening? Well, that very comment, that very concern means that this person believes there's good and bad, right? It means there's good and bad, and they're upset that the bad is happening. And you know, if there's no God at all, where does good and bad come from? Who decides what's good or what's bad? Really, you don't have any reason to believe in such a thing. It becomes more personal preference. And I put Darwin's picture on there as well, because that's who that is, Charles Darwin. Because if you think this whole world exists without God and it just sort of came into being by itself through evolution, then you really can't complain about suffering and pain. Because according to the theory of evolution, that's how everything has come here, right? Through slow development, the strong, the powerful, the well-adapted, they triumph over the weak, and the weak become extinct. That's just the way it is. And you shouldn't really complain, because that's life. So there are some good reasons, even at a philosophical level, to believe that there is a God. There is a good God, even though we experience, you know, these tough things in our lives. But then you have to ask, you know, where does this evil and suffering come from? Like if there's a good God, why are there hard things in the world? And these are some answers. You know, we live in a world which has been broken. God did not make the world the way it is today. He didn't. It was quite different. You know, in the story in Genesis, we read that God stood back at what he had made and he said it was good. Back when it came to people, he said it was very good. But we know in Genesis 3 talks about that evil entered into the world and distorted the world, and it became quite different than the world that God had originally made and intended. And we also know that when God made human beings, he gave us choice. He gave us free will. I can decide to do things. And if he hadn't given us that kind of freedom, we'd just be robots, machines. And God would gain no real pleasure from a bunch of people who were programmed to say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and couldn't do anything else. Instead, he took the risk of allowing us to make real choices. And we do. And as we make real choices, you know, sometimes we make choices that are not good ones. Other people sometimes make choices that aren't very good ones, like that person who chose to drink and drive and killed the ultimately result in the death of one of those two sons I talked about. We ourselves personally sometimes make poor choices. You know, if we've chosen to smoke instead of all we know about smoking and we develop some disease later on in life, really in a way we can't get angry at God for that, because we make some choices that we knew were a poor choice. And so sometimes the hard things that we experience in our life come from our choices and from the choices of other people in our lives. And there is Satan. Satan's real. And he hates God's people. He loves to destroy and hurt. He delights in pain. The story of Job in the Bible is maybe the clearest description of the kind of power that at times God allows Satan and the kind of stuff he does, destroying Job's whole family, bringing, you know, storms and disease and all kinds of things. So there's a variety of things that cause hard things to happen in our lives. Well, another question that some people would ask is, you know, well, why doesn't God do something? Why does God sort of just sit back on his throne in heaven and sort of watch everything go to pieces down here on the earth? Why doesn't he stop and do something if he can? Or maybe he can't. Well, once again, just a few answers here. You know, if God actually was to say, okay, I'm going to end all sin and brokenness in this world like right now, if he did that, what would he have to do? He'd have to destroy this world. And he's chosen not to do that, at least not yet. He's patient with us. He's giving chance for us, for others, to repent. And you know, he is not disconnected from our suffering. And we're especially aware of that at this time of the year, during the season of Lent. God did not just sort of sit up there in heaven and enjoy, you know, this perfect place. No, he became one of us. He entered our world. And Jesus' life, even before the last few days, was not easy. If you think back on his birth, he nearly escaped getting killed as just a little baby. And his life was not easy. Just like us, he had to deal with things like hunger and tiredness. He was tempted in ways much more powerful than you or I were ever tempted. When he began his ministry, people misunderstood him, and even those who did sometimes understand him didn't want to hear what he said. His own family as far as we can tell from the Gospels, basically rejected him and wouldn't believe that he was who he said he was. One of his best friends, his closest friends, betrayed him. And then we know, of course, that there came a time when he was arrested. And even before that arrest, I think back in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he struggled in prayer and sweat drops of blood, went through agony that none of us have ever gone through and none of us will ever go through, and then was arrested and was beaten and mocked and spit on and crown of thorns stuck in his head and flogged and nails driven through his hands and through his feet and ultimately died. God isn't just sitting up somewhere just sort of looking at us struggling down here. Not at all. Jesus has entered into our suffering. And of course, the good news is that suffering that he went through on the cross has paid for that brokenness that we experience here in the world. And that there's also Easter, and that Jesus conquered death. And there is a plan that God has in place to end suffering and pain. This picture maybe looks a little kind of, little smarmy maybe, but there's going to be a time when this broken world is going to be healed, and there will be no more death or sorrow or pain or hurt. It's going to happen. God is going to deal with suffering and pain in a complete and full way. Well, then a little harder question in some ways. Why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? I understand that none of us are like really good. We're all, you know, we're good reformed people. We all know that we're not perfect. But, you know, we're pretty nice people. And your friends and family members, they're not, you know, they're good people compared to a lot of other ones out there. They're not so bad. So why do all these tough things have to happen? And that's a hard one. And we can begin to answer it in some small ways. C.S. Lewis, who is one of my very favorite authors, in a book that he wrote on this, is a whole big book called Problem of Pain. He said in there, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It's his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. You know, it's when we're hurting that God has our attention like no other time. Some of us here have experienced the fact that when we're in trouble, when things are going bad, that's when we get on our knees and pray. Even if we weren't the kind of people that prayed much, we suddenly start to pray. And we start to read the Bible. And tough things often cause us to rearrange some priorities in our life, actually to do some good things in our life. And along with that, this is a verse from John 15 where Jesus is talking about the fact that he's like a vine and we're like the branches that are stuck in the vine. And he says about his Father, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, you know, the good people, he prunes so that will be even more fruitful. So sometimes things come into our life which are perhaps a form of disciplining, a form of fine-tuning, and it's for our good. And I think, for instance, of the Apostle Paul, and it even relates to the children's message here a little bit, where the Apostle Paul evidently had some kind of physical issue. He called it his thorn in the flesh. And it must have been pretty serious. And perhaps Paul even felt that it kind of hindered his ministry, made it harder for him to do his missionary work. And he pleaded with God to heal him, to remove that thorn in the flesh. And God said, no. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul realized, and you can read about this in 2 Corinthians, Paul realized that this physical challenge that he had to deal with was something there to keep him humble. In the middle of all the really unusual and amazing things that he'd been allowed to be a part of and allowed to see, this was something that God was using to keep him humble. And difficult times do make people stronger. Some years ago, I read about this kind of an experiment that some people did somewhere in, I think somewhere in the southwestern part of the United States. And I haven't read about it for a long time, so I might have a few facts wrong, but as I recollect, they built this big kind of a dome. And then inside that dome, they had this whole ecosystem. And they had plants in there and trees, and a few people lived in there. And then this kind of went on, I think, for like a year or two. People lived in this sort of separate little environment. And they discovered there was a problem there with the trees. The trees had reached a certain height, and then they'd just fall over. And they didn't have any idea why that was happening, because, you know, it was the perfect environment. And then they discovered that the reason the trees were falling over is because there was no wind, no breezes in that protected, sheltered environment. And so the trees never developed a strong enough root system. So they got tall enough, they'd just fall over. Interesting, isn't it? There needs to be a certain amount of adversity, a certain amount of challenges in order for us to become strong, to become strong enough. And this one verse here, and I'll have to read it from here because I can't read it back there, it's too small. But maybe you can see it here from Romans where it says, suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame. And then there's another verse too that I've also put up on the overhead here from James. It's a verse when you first read it, you're kind of like, what? Where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What? We're supposed to be happy when we have tough times? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I think, you know, as you think about people that you know in your life, some of the people that you know and that I know that have had hard things in their life, or things have not been easy, they have a strength of character that comes from having had to deal with hard things. It's not something that they would have chosen, but it is a benefit that comes from having had to deal with some hard things in one's life. Well, want to deal finally here with sort of the personal level. You know, why does God allow bad things to happen to me? So far I've been talking sort of to some extent on the theoretical level. But sometimes it's no longer theoretical. It's you. It's me. We're facing the death of a loved one. We've got a visit to the doctor and the news was not good. We're facing something in our life which is not what we want. And we've been praying about it. And even as was said to the kids, God is not answering the way we want him to answer. In fact, it sometimes really does seem like he's not listening. Or if he's listening, that somehow he doesn't care. We read a couple of those verses from Psalm 13 again, where David said, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Those are hard times when we feel like that. Very, very hard times. Desperate times. A few thoughts about how to respond to that. First of all, you're not experiencing those hard times. I'm not experiencing those hard times because God has stopped loving me. That's never true. Sometimes we're tempted to think that way a little bit, but it's not true. That's not what God is like. And I'd like to use Paul as my example again. The Apostle Paul, did God love the Apostle Paul? Yeah, he did. Paul was committed and used by God in such powerful ways. Wrote probably more than half of the New Testament, really, in many ways, was the person that God used to get the church going. Did Paul have an easy life, even though God loved him? No. In 2 Corinthians, Paul, at one point, talks about some of the things that he experienced. I mean, he was stoned once. He was flogged a bunch of times. He barely escaped with his life numerous times. Shipwrecked, often hungry, not clothed well enough. And in the end, what happened to Paul? He was executed. Did God love him? Yeah. Did God use him? Yes. But sometimes God does, in fact, ask people to go through some hard times, even though he loves them. And something I think we have to just sort of hang on to by faith sometimes. Second thing here, and this is something I have to be careful about, because not everybody seems to have the same amount of troubles as everybody else, right? This is not a large congregation, but maybe because of that, you guys would know each other quite well. And you kind of know what's happened in different people's lives in this congregation. And some people here, I suspect, have had some pretty tough lives, have had some hard things, in some cases, one after another. Maybe it's been you. And we have to be very, very careful then that we don't sort of think, well, you know what? Maybe that person had to go through those hard times because they were kind of an immature Christian, and God had to kind of grow them up. And maybe I've escaped that because, you know, I'm mature enough that God doesn't have to do that with me. Or maybe, if it's us, we might think, man, God must think that I've got a lot to learn because he's given me such hard things to deal with. But I'm here to tell you that that's not true. It's not true at all. You know, if you think back on Job again, Job's friends talked that way. Job's friends thought that because Job was dealing with all those things that he must have some stuff in his life that God was trying to deal with. And that's not true at all. And God was angry with his friends. And I've been around long enough, and I've known enough people and been members of enough churches to know that it's simply not true. Because some of the most godly people I know, some of the most spiritually minded people I know, have had some of the hardest times. It's just the way it is. And it's not because they were weak and immature. No, they were some of the people that God was especially using that sometimes have had to have the hardest times. Why? I don't know. And that's actually the next point I want to make. You know, we usually don't know why people have to have hard things in their life, or why I have to have hard things in our life. We don't know. You know, Job, you know, he went through all that tough stuff. And if you read through that book of Job, we don't ever read that he was ever told. He didn't seem to ever have been told why all these things were happening to him. And so often we don't know. Sometimes we do. I mean, sometimes later on in life, we can look back and say, yeah, now I can see why this happened. This was, in the end, it produced some good in me. But oftentimes, no. In fact, sometimes it doesn't seem to be any good whatsoever. Maybe someday when we get to meet God face to face, maybe he'll sit down with us and explain why some of these things came into our life. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Because as was pointed out, God is God, and God's ways are not always our ways. And he's infinite, and our minds are only very, very finite. A story that I think maybe helps to explain that a little bit, there's a gentleman who's written a number of books, which I really appreciate, and he's told a story a couple of times of an experience he had when he was a missionary in Bolivia. And this gentleman had a medical background, had medical training, but while he was in Bolivia, in the middle of nowhere, his one-year-old son fell and just gashed his chin very badly, so badly that it actually, the cut reached up to the roof of the mouth, and it had to be dealt with, because otherwise infection would likely set in, and that infection could even cause his son's death. And he was in Bolivia, like in nowhere, far, far from any medical help, and it had to be dealt with. And so what this man ended up doing, as he ended up having some friends hold his son down tight, because there was no anesthetic at all, and then he used what he could find. He used a pair of eyebrow tweezers and just an ordinary sewing needle and some ordinary thread, and while they held his son down, he took the eyebrow tweezers and kind of pinched the skin together, and then sewed it together. I mean, what would that one-year-old boy be thinking? Like, my dad's torturing me. But his dad wasn't torturing him. His dad was actually saving his life. So maybe that's a picture of maybe why sometimes God allows hard things into our life, things that we don't understand, things that we're angry about that cause us pain. But maybe God does know what he's doing. Maybe there's some good in that's going on there that eventually we'll understand. And then let's think again about Jesus. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus has suffered. He suffered greatly. And if Jesus suffered, why would you or I think that we should just kind of go through life, just sail through life with no pain whatsoever? He was the sinless one, and he suffered. It's going to happen to us too sometimes. And also, because he suffered, Jesus can empathize with us. He can identify with us when we hurt. He's been there. In fact, he's experienced a deeper pain than we ever have. And, you know, one of the things he said on the cross is especially striking. Because at one point, Jesus yells out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, in some way that we don't understand, turned his back on Jesus. We'll never experience that. We don't ever have to experience that, but Jesus did. He experienced sorrow and pain at a deep, deep level. And he's there to help us in our pain. And it's very appropriate to cry out to Jesus in our tough times. Even just to say, Jesus, help me. He's there. He knows what we're experiencing, and he'll be there to help us through it. You know, this woman I told you about at the very beginning who lost her husband and then one of her sons in tragic accidents, when she told her story once to a group of people, my wife was among them, at the end somebody asked her, they said, you know, well, why do you think God allowed all this hard things to happen to you? Like, why? And she said, I think the reason God allowed this and what it produced in my life, she said, was intimacy with God. It brought me closer to God. And I was just actually talking about this with somebody a couple days ago. Somebody I hadn't seen for about a year, and I said to them, we were talking, kind of catching up, and I said I was going to be preaching, you know, a sermon. I was going to be preaching about the topic of suffering. And that's a hard topic to talk about. And she said, you know, she said, this past year has been the hardest year of my life. The hardest year of my life, she said. But she said, I learned some things during this year. God taught me some things during this year that are like super important. But I'm so glad I now know. She said, I wouldn't ever want to go through this year again. But I also at the same time would never want to miss out on learning the things that I have learned during this year. And even for myself, I've had a pretty easy life. I really have. I haven't suffered much. I even have my parents are still alive, both of them, 90 years old, both of them. So I'm privileged. But I have had some hard things. I had a pretty serious accident once, and I've had a couple of operations recently, and one of them didn't all go all that well. That's why I'd have it repeated. And they weren't fun at all. But I can say that in the midst of some of the tough things, there were some very special moments of intimacy with God that I'm grateful for. Now, would I want to go through those again so I could have that? I don't think so. Not really. But God is kind and God is gracious, even in the midst of tough, tough times. I'd like to just quote these couple of verses here from 1 Peter as sort of a final encouragement here. Verse 7 of that passage says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And in the other verse, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Let's go to our God in prayer. Lord God, thank you for the fact that you've entered into our suffering. Thank you, Jesus, that you became one of us and experienced the kind of stuff that we experience. In fact, you went beyond that, and you experienced deep pain and deep suffering. and even in some way that we don't really understand that well, you experience God the Father turning his back on you. So you certainly understand suffering. And so, Lord, we can cry out to you in our times of need. And Lord, we're not going to always understand why we have to go through hard times. There's things I've shared this morning which are true, like it helps us to mature, it helps us to grow, it can give us some intimacy with you. And yet, Lord, there are times that we're going to be in a tough place. And what I've just shared here this morning isn't just going to sound like just a bunch of nice words, because the pain is just so raw. Lord, in those times, just give us the grace to somehow hang on to you, to somehow trust that you do know what you're doing. And even though if we never understand it, that you still do love us. And you'll give us somehow that grace to get through it. Thank you that, Jesus, you've conquered death. Thank you that you're coming back again sometime and you're going to establish your kingdom in its full and complete way. That we are going to enter an existence where all that tough stuff is going to be gone. And we look forward to that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.